forgetful of realities is something I find a lot in the books, and I wondered about the difference of being forgetful of realities and ignorant of realities. Is that the same?
Ignorance of reality means that you know nothing about realities at all. And forgetful, even one knows or heard about this world object. What about now? It's still not understanding this world object as just a reality.
So ignorant of reality means we don't have any accumulated panya about realities. Mm-hmm. So we are forgetful once we've heard the Dhamma to any degree.
And at moment of
rather than ignorant
forgetful,
of reality.
There must be avijja too. Not enough panya to be not forgetful.
But both of them involve avijja, being ignorant, as well as being forgetful. But different levels of avijja, or?
In the absolute sense, as long as it is kusla or akusla, it comes from ignorance.
So it's just right. Avijja, right. Different circumstances.
Yes, but Ajahn just explained to feel the difference between ignorance of realities and forgetfulness of realities, as ignorance being not having heard about them, and forgetfulness.
But actually it's both, it's just
yes,
avijja.
It's avijja in both cases.
I mean, it's not like before we heard the Dhamma, the avijja was stronger than after.
No.
Avijja is avijja when it arises.
The more we do not think about oneself, that's the right way to understand the teachings.
And generally, if there's a working out or what was the kind of citta or something, that is thinking about oneself.
And is that still pariyatti?
Not when it's thinking about oneself. You know, did I have understanding or was this chanda or this is just clinging to oneself?
So what is the appropriate way to think about
again, it means the eye is trying. The right thing is understanding reality, no,
yes.
Concerning with the self or I.
It seems that the self will always try and want.
It depends on right understanding. When right understanding understands more and more and better about realities, not many thought about oneself as usual.
Or thinking about the other, this is the same.
With kusala citta or with akusala citta?
Yes. So how the other understands and trying
that's
to sort that out the same.
Same, when there's thinking about oneself and taking dhammas for oneself and also thinks about others and takes
yes.
dhammas
yes.
all and has a lot of understanding or something. It's the
yes.
same
but
kind
what's,
of thing.
What's the difference?
Not
if
understanding dhammas, dhamma.
If we say, oh, there was mana or there was dosa, maybe it's not explicitly thinking about oneself, but it's still oneself thinking.
I think it's just that would be like, for example, if we hear someone say, I don't have so much understanding and so on, and we point out, oh, this is just mana speaking. It's just pointing to the Dharma. It's not a person who has more or less understanding. So it's like giving someone a reminder that this is mana. So it's a helpful reminder that the reality at that moment is mana.
When you were saying before that if there is thinking about what happened with self, you're talking about actually saying, well, I did this or I did that.
It seems to me that at the moments when one's wondering, oh, what kind of citta just arose and is there more understanding or less, that actually one's concern is with oneself and one having more kusala. So it's not the same as just understanding the present Dhamma.
This is what
chanda.
Differentiates between someone with satchayana and without.
Sorry.
If satchayana is being developed, then it's no concern about what's gone, but only about what appears.
It's like now, when there is thinking about whether seeing is real, or seeing is nama, or seeing sees, is that which sees, there can be such idea. At that moment, it's not the understanding of seeing. So one realizes that that is not the developed panya enough to really understand instantly that it experiences.
But
so
it's a degree of panya that is still.
At that moment, it's not indicates that it's the concerning about oneself at all. It's just conditioned for considering and realizing that it's not yet the degree of understanding which can understand instantly. And it can be that moment, for sure, when it develops. Because from not knowing and listening, and then time to consider it, and times to know little by little, until no doubt about it. And that is the moment of having sati, or whenever sati arises. So from not having sati arising at all, to having more sati in the day. Usually more unwholesomeness, unawareness in the day, and by developing understanding, it's the day with sati more than when there's no sati. It develops by understanding better and better.
Just now, for example, as I was listening to you, suddenly I was mindful that I was holding the microphone and other people might want to speak. Now, was that sati, or was that just thinking about
dosa?
About, yeah, dosa. Or it could be a moment of kusala, generosity. But
so, what's the beginning point or the starting point? It's not the moment of understanding that moment as lopa or dosa or anything, but it's the moment of realizing that it's only adana. Because it's gone. Just to be accustomed to the way it is, just a reality in the beginning. Because even its lopa is gone, its dosa is gone, before one can see the characteristic of lopa and dosa. But by developing the understanding of realities later on, it's like that. But panya begins to eradicate or eliminate the idea of self from it, little by little.
That's why there has to be the beginning of the growth of understanding dhammas as anatta from the very beginning.
And if I think anything more about why I put the microphone down, that's just pointless speculation. Or is it?
Thank you.
But can it be helpful for
again
conditioning future?
Again.
Again.
More of the story of Phil.
Yeah.
Again, attachment to whether it's helpful. If the answer is yes, then it conditions more attachment to have such conditions.
More accumulation and more insight.
So the teachings will lead only to detachment.
And then more attachment to the story about me and my kitas, and then at the same time more stories about others and their
lopa leads to more lopa.
Not the understanding of dhammas.
How good I am, how bad everyone else.
Or how bad I am, whatever. I like what you said last night about these two types of people that listen to the Buddha's teaching. One type develop more and more sense of self about I have to do this, I should do that, and so on. While the other type just understand more about reality. I was definitely one of the first type when I started with Buddhism. Made my life more difficult because I wanted to be calm and careful and proper all the time, like I read the suttas. Took me a long time to figure out that that wasn't the way, actually.
Or like Anne was mentioning this morning, have an idea of mindfulness meaning not tripping over or something like
that. It means that not enough courageous to understand reality, just want the self to be this or that.
Yes. And judging others in the same way by their behaviour or something like this.
I think that's a tendency that stays with us, and it's not as though you get over it because the accumulated tendency
that's
is still there.
That's why it has to be very natural to see one's own accumulation for panya to realize that there's no self. It's only a moment of such reality to arise.
I think recognizing that one is doing it is a good step.
Yeah.
It's all for
one
me.
One sees it's not the right way.
Yeah.
That's the best thing.
Yeah.
Because of not understanding reality as it is.
One actually has to hear and consider quite a lot to see that it's just accumulating more attachment and things like that.
Happiness arises is, again, I keep referring to things I found in the book, but I thought that was an interesting idea. Happiness arises, and I don't really have a question, but I just wanted to put that out there. How does happiness arise?
Mentally or bodily?
Must be mentally.
Must be, it's not the moment when it arises. So it's not enough just to be happy about a story, but to really understand reality right now, always right now.
I said that because I feel very happy right now, because I'm sitting here listening to Dharma. And again, here I'm thinking about whether it's an attachment to whether I'm getting a good benefit out of being here, or, you know, it's all this thinking, I know, but... But happy.
Because it's not easy to understand feeling as a reality or as feeling.
Because of the attachment to it?
Because lack of right understanding.
Lack of right understanding.
And just to repeat something I thought about for the first time since yesterday, the nimitta of Vedana. So this is just to confirm many, many, many moments of Vedana that are forming what we can perceive as a nimitta.
Each reality in split seconds is a moment of samsara.
That helps me so much, because when I first started listening to you and studying Abhidhamma, I couldn't understand how it would be possible to perceive or cognize a Dhamma that is said to rise and fall away a million times a second, and now I understand better about that.
The teaching about the nimitta of realities is very helpful for understanding that point of view.
Nimitta and concept.
Right, right.
So nimitta is nimitta of concept or nimitta of right understanding of reality.
Nimitta is the nimitta of concept.
Or nimitta of reality.
Or nimitta of reality, right.
And as Satipatthana develops, the nimitta of reality gets more and more precise towards that reality. Is that correct?
Because Panya can see or understand it as different moment.
And at the stage of Vipassana Jnanas, it's Satipatthana of the reality directly. Is that true?
It has to be directly.
The nimitta is not there at that time.
Directly of nimitta.
Still, even at Vipassana Jnana.
All the way.
Because in the mind or process, it has to be nimitta.
Why does it have to be?
Because, for example, the visible object or the chetasika if it's the object in the mind or process, it's not the reality. It has to be the nimitta of the reality. Only in the sense door process, such as the eye door process, can it actually be the reality that's experienced.
But no word and no thought about nimitta.
Just the characteristic.
More and more precisely. Closely to the reality.
The understanding is stronger and stronger. So all depends on understanding from the very beginning to the end. Especially to see attachment, because it's very hard to see it. Like the space everywhere.
It's like trying to see oxygen or air or something.
We're talking about Vipassana Jnanas, and we were saying Saturday, I just asked a question at the very end, that at the moment of Vipassana Jnana, the samadhi is equivalent in strength to Upachara Samadhi. And we're also talking a lot about Nietzsche Samadhi, for example, when someone follows a meditation practice. And it seems, as Robert was saying, that samadhi has a stronger and stronger intensity, but in the development of the wrong path and the development of Nietzsche Samadhi, is the Samadhi ever of the intensity of Upachara Samadhi or not?
Never.
Never. So however intense, however strong, it's never of that.
Because it's not Kusala.
So it can't be, no. Mm-hmm. Even when it's.
And
so
when we talk about Vipassana Jnana and Samadhi and Panya, when we talk about a moment of seeing, which doesn't mean moment, but the moment, many, many, and we talk about the moment of seeing, there is nothing left at all. No kunsara, no room, nothing. But that which is seen, and that which doesn't shape and form at all. It just experiences visible object. And we can understand this, but this is not vipassanayana. So when it's vipassanaya, it's not different from what we have heard. But the reality appears as just like we have heard now.
Yes.
About nothing. There's no world, no people, no body, no arms, no leg. Only the reality which is unlimited, that which can experience. When we talk about rupa, there must be the limit of it, some extent. Like the sound, just that particular one, and the hardness, that particular one, and visible object, just like this. Everything has limited when it's rupa. But when it's nama, unlimited, because there's no shape, no form, no room to keep anything. But everything, all experiences, all kusala and akusala, are accumulated in the darkness, which is unlimited. So there's no doubt about the characteristic of nama. Only that which experiences, like now, the visible object is that which experiences, and that which experiences is unlimited, because who can limit it? It just arises and experience. That's why the Pali is the chief or the faculty of experiencing.
And what again is the word for unlimited and limited? Do you remember what the Pali word is for?
No, not the Pali term. No. But by understanding nama,
that is its nature.
Can you understand it? It's unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
Because no shape, no form, no boundary for it to just know this or that. So it appears as no world besides it. And at that moment, whatever is the object is there. It's the moment of understanding the distinction between the nama, that which experienced, and that which is experienced. No doubt about the self, because there's no self, no I, no me, no body, no leg, no ears, nothing. It's rupa. It's only that which experiences.
But even before that, at moments of satipatthana, then it is that characteristic just as it is.
But not clear.
Not clear.
Because the other realities keep on going.
Right,
but the awareness is there to indicate that it has a reason. So there is the awareness of a characteristic, only one. And the other is still the same. But when it's vipassanayana, nothing. Which always there at moment of awareness, which is very short.
Did I just hear you say that, I definitely heard you say that the characteristic of the nama, no shape, no form, no boundary,
no
world
rupa.
Besides it. I didn't quite catch what you said about rupa at that moment.
The characteristic of nama means that there is no rupa in it at all.
Okay. That's what I wasn't sure.
So how can you make it big or small?
Okay.
Wide or narrow?
But neither is rupa big or small.
In the sense that it has its characteristic just that, not the other characteristic. For example, sound, its characteristic cannot be mixed with visible object and hardness.
And when you say, well, at moments of satipatthana, not clear, but actually at that moment,
it's the beginning.
It's clear that what you mean is it's just a moment.
It's not vipassanayana.
Doubt or other realities.
So satipatthana is not vipassanayana, but whenever it's vipassanayana, the object is satipatthana.
Yeah.
Because sati is there and panya is there. But what is heard can be shown, appeared to the developed panya, as it is no different from now. So it depends on panya only.
So you're saying vipassanayana is satipatthana insofar as being the object?
There must be object of panya with sati at level of vipassanayana.
But we need to differentiate satipatthana before vipassana
Because right understanding is not developed to that degree that it can experience directly only nama and rupa, one at a time. So it's not useless to study pariyatti. Otherwise, there will be lopa instead of understanding. Or one is limited by lopa of different degree, like lopa to sila, lopa to samadhi, and lopa to theoretical understanding, pariyatti. So one has to be very truthful to the truth. Otherwise, there would be the meditation of sitting position and other things. Instead of developing right understanding of reality at this moment, only at this moment.
When our friend the other day on Saturday talked about meditation experiences, I think there was some general sympathy. And one of the points that was being made by her was that there's so much trying and attachment anyway, so whether it's trying and attachment to focus on the breath or not focus on the breath or to be aware, it's attachment anyway. And a lot of people say, oh well, and look at the attachment to coming to the Dhamma discussion or to listening or something like this. But would you say a little more about why such a kind of practice like that is so harmful?
Because it's done by lopa and ignorance. Is it not harmful to have more?
I think so.
And wrong view. In the way that while we are talking about the truth, it's the only way to eliminate or decrease attachment to the result. Otherwise, one always wish or hope to have such and such experience. But while one realizes it's only the matter of right understanding of reality right now, one can see that it is very slowly developed. There must be hearing, considering, so it can be the firmly established understanding about reality that not the past, not the future, only reality right now can be object of understanding.
And it can seem quite tough, or people often say that it seems quite tough if one says going to the meditation center, this is wrong view and wrong practice. But the thing is, one's trying to think of what is the most helpful way
to... So, what's the result of going, not knowing reality right now? Which is the only way to understand the conditioned reality? Even that sound is conditioned. Hearing is conditioned. If it's not daily life or naturally, how can there be the perfect understanding of the conditionality which will lessen the attachment to clinging to the reality itself? So they try to find other way, not understanding reality right now, not listening to the subtlety of reality which Buddha pointed out always to develop understanding.
And when you say whenever they have an idea of meditating or going to a place, there is an idea of I for sure, would you say a little bit?
Not understanding what's the object of right understanding. So if one asks them, can this be directly understood? What's the answer?
They will say, yes. Yes, it can. But then if you question, the more they say, but when I'm quiet and get to a certain stage of samadhi, then it's better, easier to see.
So it's not this object at all?
They would say, theoretically, in daily life, yeah, like the woman on Saturday. But when we talk to her more, she would say, but she finds it more conducive when she's in the quiet place to experience hardness.
Can there be one person only in a house, no one else? Can it condition right understanding?
No.
Why move to...
I agree. I'm just saying that's what people
say. I just
say.
Want to help them to understand that. If there can never be the understanding of reality right now, what can condition such understanding of our reality?
So until we understand reality, we can't understand. Yesterday at lunch we talked about, what was it, two kinds of solitude, two kinds of seclusion, citta,
viveka and kaya viveka.
And why the Buddha taught kaya
viveka.
All the teachings.
But until we understand reality now,
okay,
we won't understand.
All the teachings should be understood very carefully. For example, when one is alone at night, after one sleep, one wake up, can they be conditioned to understand reality better, I mean, than usual daily life? Okay.
It depends.
So one knows that associating with others will bring more and more stories to be conditioned for lobha and tosa on the politics and economics and everything, rather than the teachings. So one understands about when there is nothing distracting, it can be conditioned. But is there attachment to that?
Also
that.
Personally, when I wake up, I just think about pleasant things, not about Dharma, but yeah.
It depends on conditions, but sometimes there are conditions for considering lots of what in the Tipitaka and about realities, or the direct understanding of reality. So one can see the conditions for each moment without attachment. But when there is attachment, I just want to be alone, or I want to go to the forest.
Or I want to meditate.
I want to meditate. Is it not with attachment? Even at moment of considering Dhamma, while it's quiet, very quiet, right understanding can understand whether there is attachment to that moment or not. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's no way to get rid of attachment.
So what you're saying, that even when Spanya arose in the middle of the night, there is still the danger of being attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also saying that can be, at times, for some people, a condition for more pain, is that right?
And for attachment. Otherwise, Spanya cannot see attachment at all. So how can they go further than that? Because attachment comes along all the way, hinders the progress of Spanya.
Even now, the same thing can happen in the Dharma discussion
too,
right?
It depends. So, Panya understands when there is direct awareness only.
So, we're talking about someone, when Panya has arisen already, there's still the danger of attachment. Whereas, when people have ideas of better time and place, for them, Panya has never arisen, and they're thinking with the idea of self. So that's...
And even Panya has arisen, is then attachment or no attachment? So the path of Panya is the elimination of attachment all the way, because the attachment will get more subtle. Even Panya is subtle, it's there all the way. And that's meant by courageous to understand reality as it is.
And at a moment of understanding, that is completely alone, isn't it? It's a moment of
right.
aloneness.
Mm-hmm.
No need to be in a room.
No friend, no...
Actually, each citta is alone anyway, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's not just follow attachment. It's the moment of understanding attachment, more and more, more subtle attachment too, that nothing can hinder the progress of Panya, because it clings instantly. All the time. To be good person,
yeah.
To what and what? Okay. Not understanding. Mm. Only understanding can understand reality as it is. So without understanding, lopa is there. One is enslaved to lopa. In Pali it is tanha thaso. Thaso is slave. And tanha is lopa.
And I wonder too about tone, and again this is just a story, but Ajahn's way of speaking, her body language, her warmth, it maybe helps for understanding to sink in, whereas somebody else might speak in a way that I take as harsh. So I don't know if that's also a factor.
still a story.
Still
it's a story about our journey.
But it's a story about rupas, and it's a story about realities.
It's conditions.
What is the true world?
In this moment?
No one.
Just seeing, hearing, dharmas arising and falling.
Living
away,
in darkness. Alone in darkness. With different thinking about what is heard or seen and everything. That's all. Really in darkness. But the world of ignorance does not appear like this at all. Full of people, things pleasant and pleasant. But actually, there is nothing but darkness and that which experiences one object at a time and think a lot about everything. And the meaning of khanda is nothing is left after it has gone. Now, whisper object, never come back. Sound, thinking, never come back. So one lives with the idea of there are many things in the world and I see, but actually only darkness and experiencing and nothing's left from moment to moment. Courageous enough to understand that actually there's no one in the world, there's only darkness with moment of experience, whisper object and then thinking a lot, and then sound and thinking a lot, while no more whisper object, no more sound, only in memory.
You were asking, is there courage enough? As in, not for someone who often thinks about how much understanding I have.
Moments of understanding is courage. You were asking about satchanyana, when it's an understanding that's really firm, then there's none of the sort of thinking that you mentioned yesterday about concern about going back to one's country or anything like this, because there's confidence that it's just the present Dharma, the present reality, whether one ever has a discussion again or not.
And is it awful to know that? To be freed from attachment completely?
Each moment of understanding is a letting go of a burden for that moment, for that instant.
No cats anymore.
No cats, no meals, no husband, no mother, no
household life, no duties.
But cannot get away from the cage of ignorance.